Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the second epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12, and reads as follows. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word. The Christians in the area of Jerusalem were suffering greatly in poverty and under the persecution of those that hated them. The majority of the Jews, especially those with political power, were hostile against the Christians. Additionally, a terrible famine in that area made it all the more difficult to afford food. Of course, those Jewish Christians were not forsaken by their dear Heavenly Father for Christ's sake. Now, the Apostle Paul at the time of our text was not living in that area of Jerusalem, but was out spreading the gospel across many Gentile lands, bringing the glorious message of salvation through Christ to those who were helplessly lost in their spiritual ignorance and unbelief. So, in a certain sense, Paul was not affected by the conditions in Jerusalem. But in another sense, he was deeply affected. He knew about the extreme suffering, the extreme living conditions in Jerusalem at that time, and he talked about it with the various churches to whom he ministered. He furthermore encouraged the predominantly Gentile churches, which were a long distance away from Jerusalem, to raise money to send to the suffering brethren in Jerusalem. And we see in our text that the churches in Macedonia, which included Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, responded with great enthusiasm, demonstrating their Christian love, excelling in generous giving. In writing to the Corinthians in our text for today, the Apostle Paul describes the generosity of the Macedonian Christians in order to encourage and to guide the Christians in Corinth, and also to be an encouragement and a guide for us. Let us therefore, on the basis of our text for today, take to heart what is here set forth concerning the principles of Christian giving. We shall see in the first place that we are to give generously. Secondly, we are to give as a fruit of our faith. And thirdly, we are to give free willingly. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of His word in your hearts and in your lives. Our text begins with the Apostle Paul informing the Christians in Corinth about the extreme generosity of their brethren in the churches of Macedonia. We read, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Based on this description, we cannot consider the Christians in the churches of Macedonia to be wealthy or well off. That doesn't account for how they were able to be so extremely generous in their giving. No, Paul describes the churches in Macedonia as enduring a great trial of affliction and deep poverty at that time. So, because of that, one might naturally conclude that they're not in any kind of position to give anything to help others. They need to keep their money to help themselves. They have their own needs to see to. But no, their own condition of poverty and their own sufferings did not prevent them from giving very generously to help their brethren in need in Jerusalem. As the Apostle Paul describes it here in our text, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality, which simply means they were exceedingly generous, even in their impoverished state. In this way, they were following in the footsteps of that widow that Jesus praised, who gave her two last mites to support the work of God's kingdom. Accordingly, as we see from the example of the Macedonians in our text, being poor does not mean that we cannot or should not give generously to support the work of the church. Similarly, our children should be taught, even though they don't have much money of their own, to give to the church. That's good Christian training. They should still be encouraged to give something. It should also be stressed that giving money isn't the only way that you can give to the church. You can support the church greatly through personal service and through prayer. Here again, it's nice to see it when children participate in the cleanup and the beautifying of the church. That's contributing nicely. And we should not underestimate the power and importance of praying for the church. The Apostle James writes, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So even the poorest ones in our congregation, those who may not be able to contribute much of anything monetarily, can still help contribute to the welfare of the congregation. The fact that the Macedonian Christians gave way beyond what anyone would have considered reasonable is mentioned in the next verse of our text, where we read, "For to their power or ability I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, beyond their ability, they were willing of themselves." They were willing. They gave voluntarily. The Apostle Paul did not need to force them to be so generous. In fact, the exact opposite was the case. If anything, the Macedonians had to force Paul to take their generous offerings, as we see in the next verse, where Paul says, "Praying us with much entreaty," which means begging, "that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." The Macedonian Christians were so generous, they had to beg Paul and his fellow preachers to let them give so much to support the effort of providing assistance to the saints, their spiritual brethren whom they had never met, living in far-off Jerusalem. Now, we are not told the exact amount that they gave, nor are we told a percentage that they gave. But from Paul's description, it would seem like they must have given far in excess of the 10% that was considered reasonable at that time. That was based on an Old Testament ceremonial command. In the Old Testament, God commanded tithing, which was giving a strict 10% of money and goods. And that was done to support the Levites in their work ministering in the tabernacle and in the temple. For us Christians of the New Testament, there is no exact percentage required by God. However, when we give our offerings to the church, it should certainly be generous. That's following the example of the Macedonians in our text. Furthermore, we Christians of the New Testament have the brighter light of the gospel. We have the fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies in our Savior. And that should certainly move us in gratitude to give generously. That is precisely what caused the Christians in Macedonia to be so generous. It was the result of their faith in Christ Jesus. Accordingly, St. Paul writes in the next verse of our text, "And this they did, not as we hoped," which means they gave far more than the apostles had hoped for, "but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Notice here that the Apostle Paul says that these Macedonian Christians, as a fruit of their faith and love for Christ, first gave their own selves to the Lord. Before giving any money to help the struggling saints in Jerusalem, they gave themselves, body, heart, and soul, in loving service to the Lord their Savior. And that's what God wants all of his believing children to do, first and foremost. He wants you to give yourself. That's much more important than simply giving money. He wants you to give yourself to him. Now, the Christians in Corinth, to whom St. Paul is writing in our text, were to be encouraged to follow the example of the Macedonians. And Titus, one of Paul's co-workers and fellow preachers of the gospel, was being sent to them to help them in this regard. We read in our text, "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Since through the power of the Holy Ghost, the Corinthian Christians had abounded in all kinds of spiritual gifts, gifts of grace, in faith, in spiritual knowledge, in love, then they should likewise also abound in this grace, in generous Christian giving, as the Macedonians did. But the Apostle Paul is clear to stress in the next verse that he is not giving a command. He is not commanding the Corinthians to give just as much as the Macedonians gave. Rather, he is setting before them the fine example of the Macedonians and giving them, the Corinthians, an opportunity likewise to prove the sincerity of their Christian love. We read in our text, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness," which means earnestness, "of others, namely the Macedonians, and to prove the sincerity of your love." Now, even if the Christians in Corinth never gave as much as the Macedonians did, since they were Christians, they did, of course, love the Lord and love their brethren. By giving money to support the work of the church and to help those in need, that's one of the ways that we show our love for God, show our love and appreciation for the work of his church. Again, the Apostle Paul says in our text, that that's how we prove the sincerity of our love. For if we're not willing to make any kind of monetary sacrifices, if we're not willing to part with any money to support the church, what does that say about our love for His Word? What does that say about how much we value the work of the church? We really should value the Word of God so much that we would be ready to give exceedingly generously, as the Macedonians did, in order to preserve God's Word and His work among us and our children after us. Obviously, all true Christians do love the Lord and highly value His Word. That's the natural response of a believing heart to God. God's love for us moves us to love Him in return. As the Apostle John writes in his first epistle, we love Him, God, because He first loved us. And again, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So we see in the next verse of our text that to encourage the Corinthians to abound in Christian love and generosity, St. Paul reminds them of Christ's surpassing love for them. He says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Indeed, Christ gave up the riches of heavenly glory in exchange for earthly poverty, in order that we could inherit the heavenly riches, the heavenly glory, after this earthly life is past." In the gospel, we learn about how Jesus so generously took upon Himself a true human nature and withheld from Himself the full and constant use of His divine attributes in order to suffer, in order to take our place under the law, so that by His holy life and by His innocent suffering and death on the cross, He could pay for our sins. This He did to save us from hell, to save us from the punishment that we deserve. And on account of Christ's perfect atonement, God's justice has been fully satisfied, and the forgiveness of sins is freely given to the world. We should show our appreciation for such spiritual riches of His grace by being willing and eager to give generously of our temporal riches, which are also gifts of His grace, for the support of His church, for the support of His work among us, and to help those in need. In the next verse of our text, St. Paul again makes it clear that he is not commanding the Corinthians to give money. So he describes his divinely inspired counsel as advice. It's good advice. Advice which, if the Corinthians would follow it, it would redound to their benefit. He says in our text, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient," which means profitable, "for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward," means willing, determined, "a year ago." 1 year prior to the writing of our text, the Corinthians had already begun to collect money to send to the Christians in Jerusalem. In his previous letter, the Apostle Paul wrote to them about this, so we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. But now in our text from 2 Corinthians, we see here in verse 10 that the Christians in Corinth are being urged to complete this work of collecting funds so that their generous gifts could be sent to the Christians who were struggling in Jerusalem. In the last two verses of our text, St. Paul emphasizes the importance of this work of charity being done from the heart, with a willing spirit. He says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted, according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Obviously, one would not be expected to give what he doesn't even have. But the point here is that even when you give of that which you have, it needs to be done with a willing spirit, free willingly, not by coercion or force. Indeed, we should never feel like we're being forced to give anything against our will. In the chapter that comes right after our text, so 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, Paul writes, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Yes, God wants all your offerings to be given free willingly and cheerfully. Never allow yourself to feel coerced into giving anything to the church against your will. That wouldn't be pleasing to God anyway. Even if you gave a great amount of money, but you really didn't want to, that's not pleasing to God. Of course, if you look in your heart and see no desire whatsoever to give any money to support the work of the church, as was mentioned earlier, what that shows is a sinful despising of his word, a despising of the Lord. The desire to give to God's work must be present in the heart of every Christian, even when he doesn't have the ability to give. According to his new man, he wants to, because he loves the Lord. He appreciates his word. Certainly no one forced the poor Macedonian Christians to give as they did. But in their deep poverty and affliction, they still contributed richly to the effort of helping the suffering Christians in Jerusalem. And that is an excellent example for us to remember when we give to support the work of this congregation, or give to support the work of the conference, or give to help our brethren in Nigeria. This is one of the ways that we demonstrate our Christian faith and love toward God and our fellow Christians. But again, in order for this really to be God-pleasing, it has to be done willingly and cheerfully, not by coercion. So if we examine our heart and we recognize that we have not always given generously, free willingly, and cheerfully to the Lord's work, then we need to sincerely repent of our sins and find our only joy and comfort in the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus, through which we are assured that all of our sins are forgiven for his sake. And then, out of gratitude for his forgiveness, we should be like the poor Macedonians, motivated by the love of God, to become all the more generous in our offerings and contributions to the church, remembering Christ's tremendous sacrifice for us. Let us put first things first in our lives. Give generously, sacrificially, to support the Lord's work. And may God always preserve such a heart within us, which is truly willing and glad to give to the Lord of that which he has so generously given to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.